Adam, you know, we talked about like daylight saving time, and you just, we were just talking about this, and you said you can only use it twice a year. That made me think of this phrase, like, you know, that there's that phrase, like a stopped clock is always, is only right twice a day.
Yeah.
Right. Do people get that reference? Like we had in the last interview with Maddie, we had to explain Vanna White, right? Because she knew who Vanna White was. And I'm like, do people understand when I say a stopped clock is right twice a day, why that is? Or a broken clock? Or it's a broken clock. A broken clock is right twice a day, right? Because, I mean, okay, if you don't know, think of an analog clock. And by analog, I mean it's not on your phone. It's a physical clock with a physical mechanism inside of it. I know, totally weird alien technology, but trust me, this thing exists.
Yep.
And when it stops, of course, it's going to be like 7:14 two times a day. Unless you live in Europe, in which case it's 7:14 and, you know, 19:14, but, you know, same
thing. Or you're in the military.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that annoys me. My wife keeps her phone in military time. So I
keep mine in military time. You know why I keep mine in military? Every clock I have that's under my control is military time.
Why?
Because I once missed a very, very important meeting because I set my clock for 7 o'clock p.m. On my phone. I set the alarm for 7 p.m. and I got a call from my boss. Where are you? And he can hear I just woke up.
What do you mean?
So I lived in Europe for a while growing up, so I was already accustomed to military time. So from that point forward, I don't even think about it. Like, I look at my clock right now, it's 4:26, even though it says 16:26, I don't even think about it. It's just one of those. And so when you get used to it, like, I can never set my clock wrong, because I go to set my alarm, it gives me the 0 through 23 to pick for the hour. I don't have to worry about the AM PM thing.
Wow. That's crazy. That's totally nuts, because it's funny. Like, I mean, my family, I come from a military family. My brother, my father, my grandfathers, my nephews. Heck, my wife's in the works at a hospital. My other nephew's a cop. They all speak military time. Mm-hmm. Because
they speak it? Like, they'll say, like, 1,500?
Oh, yeah. Like, not speaking to be grim, but, like...
That's a whole different culture. I'm not into that culture. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna draw a line with that culture. I don't do that.
The line.
It is 4:27 p.m. right now. It is not 16:27.
No, my brother Tom, who's retired and old, and we like standing in front of the barbecue. We stand in front of the barbecue as 56-year-old man and a 48. I'm the 48-year-old standing there, and I'll go, "Hey, what time are we eating?" He'll go like, "I don't know, 16:30." I mean, like, 16:30, what is minus times two? I don't know.
Carry this.
What is that, Tom? My brother. Yeah. What is that, Tom? But I understand why medical uses it, because, like, time of death is like 18:27.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
No confusion there.
Exactly. Again, when you're trying to not have confusion, if someone asks what time dinner is and you say 6:30, they do not think you're waiting until the morning time to have dinner.
Right.
There's not confusion, right? You know something else that also actually irritates me sometimes? I hear people trying to do the military time, and they'll do this. Oh, 1400. The O is for when there's a single-digit hour. Oh, 800.
Yeah.
It's not oh, 1600. Total, just like, you'll hear it. Now that I mentioned it, if you don't notice it already, you will notice people saying it if they're trying to pretend military time.
Next time, look at him go, look screen angle. What are you trying to talk to me on a walkie talkie?
I guess a niner in there.
Yeah, a niner in there.
Well, welcome to Demo Jockeys. The current date is March somethingeth.
And welcome
back. Today we got part two of our conversation with Maddie Stremick while we talk through Stories That Stick by Kendra Hall. This wonderful book here. We're finishing our last piece of conversation. It's upside down. It's upside down.
It's holding upside down.
Was that not on purpose this time?
Actually, it might have been not on purpose, because I pulled it from the pile. And I didn't look at it. I just pulled it and did like, I'm going to do a cool pan thing. I was more concerned about the pan than I was where the book was.
If you're just listening to the audio, you're missing all the great gaffes of book holding.
So much comedy in this show.
So much. I think that's the only, fortunately, I think that's the only physical comedy so far, right?
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get to much else other than that. But great conversation. Continuing with Maddie. And so I don't want to waste much more time because we're talking about job hunting and all of, good stuff today.
Important stuff.
All right. And also, we'd have people getting backstage. If you want to join the backstage, basically the live stream of the recording, come over to slack.demojockeys.com. Join the Slack and you can join the backstage for our recordings next month. All right. Let's get into the show.
I think we're talking about the positives of the story, but I also want to touch on the negatives. And that's one of the negatives, too, is, in my opinion, it's any great presentation that I'm going to deliver is going to be 50-50, in my opinion, story to fact. Mm. And the reason why I say that is because I'm going to tell a story that relates to these important facts that show business value. Then I'm going to follow up with another story that I can then say facts that show business value. And it's kind of like this tell, show, tell, or, you know, to pull an old classic phrase. But it's this cadence. I find that, you know, fact and story equal a good meeting.
You know, that kind of reminds me of when she talks about almost like when you have an animal that you need to feed a pill and you put peanut butter. I don't know if she used that exact, if it was peanut butter or something else, but she talked about using the story and then kind of hiding almost like the facts and like the stuff that engages that more like analytical side of your brain. And I thought that was so interesting. It almost sounds kind of like that's maybe like kind of almost the way that you do it. It's story and then kind of going back to the like more stats of it and the business value and then story.
Well, you're making the stats the part of the conclusion of the story. Like, yeah, the dog finally ate the pill and the bologna or the peanut butter. We use bologna in my house for Mr. Fred. He's a Jack Russell Terrier, super cute. Yeah, he is. I love my dog. I really do. I take him for rides. Derailing. Trying to get back on track.
Talk about dogs for all if you want, but we can do whatever you want to
do. But the thing is if I'm selling bologna, like, yeah, that's worked great, bologna. Why would you want bologna? Well, the story is my dog wouldn't take this pill. So I wrap it up in the bologna and he eats the pill. And there Mr. Fred will live another day because he's 19. But no, I'm sorry, 14. He's old. Wow. The reason why I said 19 because I was looking at a dog on Facebook because my Facebook's pretty much just cars and dogs. And Jack Russell, 19 years old today. And it's old little Jack Russell standing there like a cane.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I do the same in respects to sort of the negative side of it. I've definitely experienced sometimes when either I have been or the customer feels backed into a corner by a story. And I'll explain it this way. There's actually a book called Never Split the Difference. I'll link to it. I don't remember the author by chance, but this guy was a top negotiator for the FBI. A point that he's talking about in negotiation, something that a lot of new negotiators do that's a bad thing, is where they feel like they ask a question that makes the person feel like they're put into a corner. They know why you're asking it. They know what you're getting at. They don't want to answer it honestly because they know what you're going to do with this information if you answer honestly. And I feel like a lot of times we as sellers do exactly that with our stories. We'll tell a story and it's so incredibly transparent why we're doing it that makes the person feel like, yeah, of course I want those results. But if you haven't really earned the ability to get there, it can come across as very much pushing them up against a wall. So I guess my question, thinking about sort of those negative consequences, Maddie, I mean, if you've got something about this, or Adam, if you have, how do you avoid a little bit the negative side of storytelling where so you're not coming across as trying to push an agenda through your story instead of just really trying to relate to them how it's worked for somebody else?
That's a great question. I think one thing that stands out to me is when she talks about finding the balance and not over practicing and making your story a scripted story, which takes kind of the authenticity out of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where in sales, I've seen a lot of stories go wrong. And I know where I've told stories, I think in an ineffective way, is when it's so scripted that it doesn't sound genuine. And then you follow it up with that leading question of, you know, we help them do this. Don't you think we'll be able to help you do it too? And then, you know, how are they supposed to respond to that in a way that's true? And then their objections actually don't, you know, come up. And those are things you actually want to resolve. So instead you're backing them in a corner. So I think it's those leading questions and perhaps being too scripted also with your stories.
That's a great point, because I was drawing a blank on what to say to Jack. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, go for that.
Yeah, you conjured a mental image I had once of when I had a solicitor come knock at my door. And at the time, to set the stage, my daughter was maybe a year or 2 years old at this point. I'm tired. I just got her down for a nap. I answered the door because I was waiting, I think, for a pizza I had ordered. This nice. Is before you did everything on the app, okay? I'm older than I look. There was no app to order pizza on. I had to call it in on the phone, on the landline. And
what's a landline?
I know. Ugh. And so I answer the door, and it's, oh, you're not holding a pizza. And this person starts talking about women's rights and with votes coming up, really getting the vote out there, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, I don't really want to talk to you right now. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm like, I just want to make you leave me alone. But then she hit me with, so do you care about women's rights? And I'm like, I do, but I feel so put in a corner right then. I was like, nope. Because I felt so backed against the wall. I didn't want to answer their question.
Yeah,
because they knew what I was going to say. As you kind of mentioned, that whole not scripted, if she hadn't come up as so scripted, if she hadn't been so, this whole speech that she's going down within that punched question at the end, I may have been like, okay, what do you need a signature on a petition? Sure, it's fine. I want to wait for my pizza now, but don't put me in a corner.
That's such a great example.
That is. Oh, nobody puts Jack in the corner.
No. So I do want to leave a little bit of time here, Maddie, because I know, like I said, met you when you were doing Pre-Sales Academy, but you're not doing the Pre-Sales Academy right now. And I kind of teased it a little bit. So what is it that you're doing now? Talk to me a little bit about what you're doing now, because I think I was actually at one of your workshops, so I have seen the storytelling in action there. What is it that you're doing? And I'd just love to hear more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, now that I think about it, since you attended a workshop, I should be asking you for feedback.
I did give you feedback.
And it was helpful. It was really helpful feedback.
Oh, good.
So thank you for that. So a little bit about what I'm doing. So when I was at Pre-Sales Academy, I really specialized in helping people pivot into sales engineering. And so I had the unique opportunity of working with hundreds of career changers who were making drastic changes from, you know, teaching to literally being a manicurist to getting into sales and more specifically sales engineering. And so since leaving Pre-Sales Academy, Eugene and I collaborated to ultimately put together Better Career, where we help people build better careers, to be a little cheesy. But the idea behind it is really, thank you, really a career platform for people that are in transition, whether they're job seeking, maybe they were laid off or they just want to find a new role, a new home, or it's someone that is making a drastic career change. And so we do workshops and ultimately have a program where we work with individuals to give them resources and support and community while they're in this transitionary period. And I was thinking about, you know, how does what I do relate to even what we're talking about storytelling? And I think a lot of what I do is actually tell stories. I tell stories about career changers and job seekers that have overcome obstacles and land incredible jobs and now have, you know, 20% more to, you know, ultimately you know, spend. They're increasing their salaries. And then secondly, I think a huge part of what I do is help people tell their own stories, whether it's the way that they present themselves in their LinkedIn and resume to the way that they're coming to conversations and interviews, sharing their own personal success stories. You know, we always talk about behavioral interviews and what's the best way to navigate those. And I think a lot of it comes down to the way that you tell stories, because it's not the candidate with the most experience that wins and ultimately gets the job. It's a candidate that was able to communicate their value in the most compelling way that ultimately gets the job. So that's a little bit of what we're kind of doing at Better Career and how I think about storytelling and what we're doing.
So you,
that's excellent.
You basically are becoming a storytelling coach, whether you like it or not, is kind of what I'm hearing.
to some extent. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Like, it's as someone who has obviously gone through the interview process, but who does an interview people to hire people. Yeah, it's the stories that people can tell in a meaningful way that really connect to me and make them stick in my mind. And that, which is really important in any time, but especially right now, when if you post an application for a job, you're going to have hundreds of people that first day applying for that job. So as I'm going through and talking to people, I will remember the people who could tell their narrative when I ask the opening question of, so don't give me your resume rundown, but give me a vision of yourself. What makes you stand out from others who may be applying and what brought you to this point? There's a big difference between the people who've worked on their own story narrative versus people who just say, well, my most recent job was this, and then before that I did this. I'm like, all right, you're going to give me your rundown of your resume. I can also read. Thank you. And those people aren't sticking in my mind. People sticking in my mind are the people who've got a reason why.
I got a great story. You just inspired me, Jack.
Oh, I could see it. I saw the hands going
up. Yeah, the hands went up and everything.
I was like, either there's a fire and Adam has to leave right now.
Jazz hands.
So there's a story.
It's funny you say that. It's funny you say all of that. And this is to all everyone out there in the world. Remember, you've got three professional storytellers here telling you that your story is valid and every single person in the world has a story. I want to say that first. The second thing I'd like to add is to prove your point, I am the first hire at the company I work for right now that is a company that has absolutely nothing to do with what I specialize in. And they're expanding their product capabilities. And I was brought in to kind of help build this team and kind of help lay the groundwork of. And it's funny when you said that, Jack, it inspired me, because what I said in my interview is, well, first thing I said was, I love my field. I love the fact that I get to do all of this with data and produce these kind of results. And I love what I can bring to a client. And I told my story of what I like. I didn't say where I worked before. I didn't say what I was doing. I just told this person, like, my vision for what I love. And I told that story. And at the time, a lot of people that were going for this role, I won. So it really is proof in the pudding that your story will help you get the job, help you finish the interview.
I know you've got a word for that, Maddie. That's putting together your personal, what do you call it?
Yeah, personal value summary, the PVS.
Yes. I'm like, I know there's a better career thing, and I'm going to mess it up if I try to remember exactly what it's called. But yeah, that was my big takeaway from the workshop, was thinking deeply, what's my personal value summary? If I could get people coming in with a personal value summary and they understood their value that they brought, they understood why, is I could tell you, yes, great, let's move to the next step. Or I could also very succinctly say, I love that. You probably aren't going to be successful here. And you probably won't like it here, and here's why.
Feedback in interviews is, I think, tough, because a lot of times job seekers don't get anything, and they spend hours putting together demo presentations and get just a, we pick someone else. So I think people are often like the idea of feedback because they're putting so much effort into their job search. But actually getting feedback is, I think, another thing. I think job seekers are often, I think we're all sometimes unprepared to actually deal with that feedback when we get it. But I think a lot of times people like the idea of feedback because of the investment that they're putting into these processes. But I love that you're thinking about it as far as when someone shares their value, that helps you identify fit or misfit. That's the right word there.
maybe we'll come up with different. Let's workshop that one. Yeah. Let's workshop that.
We'll come back to that one.
You're more of a misfit.
Yeah, don't like you.
Yeah. For whatever reason, my HR team has been contacting me after every interview. I'm not sure why.
Oh gosh, yeah, not misfit.
So before we go, for anything else, you talked about Better Career. Anything else that you're working on right now that you wanted to talk about? Do you have any upcoming sessions that you wanted to plug? What do you got going on, Maddie, before we kind of end the session here?
Yeah. So right now we're working on, a few different projects, but the one that's coming to life the soonest at the end of this month, we're launching a project manager accelerator. So we've actually partnered with a former teacher who pivoted into project management, and she has built all the content for this course. And so ultimately individuals will go through, they'll actually build out a portfolio as part of that, and then they'll work with UG and I more on the job search side. So that's kind of the first step that we're taking, and then launching some additional things for career changers specifically. We've also been doing more coaching for demo presentations. So that's something that we did a lot through PSA. Jack, I know that you did coaching as well through PSA. and so we've gotten the unique privilege of seeing hundreds of different interview processes for pre-sales roles in particular. And so we work with individuals to help them refine their demos and their storytelling techniques. So then they can actually land the plane and win that job. Nice. So that's another thing that we've been doing and really enjoying.
Derek says he learned a lot. So
yes.
Thumbs up.
Thank you.
Thanks
Derek,
for joining, Derek.
Yeah.
We
love you, Derek.
No, that's awesome. I may have to talk to you at some point after the session, because I'm actually interested in current best practices around that final demo session. Cause I feel like the typical way that it's handled doesn't work very well. That's a whole different topic we could get into.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it. And I've also got some controversial opinions on that round as well. So I could talk a long time about it.
This may have to be a teaser for you to come back to talk about those things, because now I'm really intrigued and we're definitely out of time.
Next time.
But yeah, thanks, Time. Thank you so much for being here. It's been wonderful time. It's absolutely flown by talking to you, and really appreciate you being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a joy.
All right, that's it. That's a wrap on Stories That Stick and our conversation with Maddie. Adam, how are you feeling?
Feeling great. I think Maddie is awesome to have on, and I can't wait to have Maddie back.
Yeah, because honestly, that teaser at the end, I want to know.
Oh, totally.
Is that a hack for being on Demo Jockeys more than once? You drop something at the end when you're out of time that they have to invite you back, maybe?
Yeah, if you want to come back, just make it so that we can't not invite you.
We'll be having some of the favorite guests. And by the favorite, I mean Adam and my favorite guests back on the show at some point as well. We've already been talking about that, some people that we want to bring back on for the future. But that's it for this time. Check out demojockeys.com. Like I said last time, if you're on YouTube, subscribing, liking, leaving a comment helps us out immensely. So thank you so much for that. Otherwise, tell your friends about the show.
And don't forget, next time you see us, we'll be talking about Stolen Focus.
Stolen Focus. Thanks for mentioning that. Pick it up. The link will be in the description. I'm excited to go through this because, as you can tell, both of us struggle with focus. So we could definitely use
a little help there.
A little bit of help. All right. Well, we'll see everybody next week.
Good night, everybody.